Pastor Varun and Pastor Don LaHopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Before I share with you the Word of God, the sermon, I would like to speak to you something that the Lord reminded me last night again to speak to the whole church. On Tuesday morning, I woke up and spent devotion time, and God spoke to me. And I thought that God just spoke to me, but in fact, God wanted to speak to the church prophetically. He spoke to me like this: "Son, what people do in the school?" I know the answer. He just wants to. You know, sometimes when God wants you to get to some point, He will ask you a question. I said, "Yeah, they go to school in order to learn the knowledge, get the diploma, and get the, you know, education so that they can find a good job." And then he asked me, "Why people go to movie theater?" "Oh, yeah, they go to movie theater to watch movie and to spend time with their family or their boyfriend or girlfriend, whatever." So God then began to speak to me that everything that your guy do, you have a purpose. You have a clear objective. And then he spoke to me, "Tell my people in the church to have a clear objective of being a member of a family of God, so that you will not be tossed back and forth with the idea of the world." Before I mention to you, I'd like to read a few scriptures here and I make a conclusion. I'm not going to preach on this scripture. I just read it to confirm that what God spoke to the church is in the Bible. Ephesians 4, chapter 10 to 14. "He who descended," mean Jesus, "is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself," mean Jesus himself, "gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry." Equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. "For the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, and to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting." Matthew 28:18-20. "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations.'" Everyone say, "Make disciples." "Make disciples." "Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." 1 Corinthians 2:16. "For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Amen. Matthew 8:33. "But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciple, he rebuked Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan,' he said. 'You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men.'" 1 Corinthians 2:10. "But God has revealed them to us." Them mean the minds of God. "Through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." Luke 9:23. "Then he said to them all, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.'" Everyone say, "Take up his cross."
"Take up his cross."
"Deny himself."
"Deny
myself."
"Deny myself."
Isaiah 55:9. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God wants to speak to you today prophetically that you need to have a right perspective and objective and clear purpose of why you come to church. We are living in the society with entertainment and with a lot of TV program and, you know, Seahawk game, and people like want to have fun, want to be entertained. If you come to church with that kind of attitude to have fun, you miss the point. The objective of being in the church as a Christian is to worship God and to be trained to grow up spiritually. In that process of growing up spiritually, you have to deny yourself, pick up the cross. So it means that sometimes it will be uncomfortable to be in a church. Sometimes it may be something you have to go through some painful experiences. So don't think that come to church is it's just another Seahawk game. No, this is the school of life. You are coming to school to worship God and to learn to grow into the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Amen. In that process, you may have to go through some hardships. I give you an example like this. I want to say that God is concerned about your maturity and your character than your comfort. Amen. God wants you to grow. Some of you may be a care group leader for 10 years and you say, I'm tired of this. I'm bored. But God said, it's not about your tiredness and your boredom. It's about your character. I want you to be faithful. Or maybe you do something in the church for a long time, but you say, you know, no one value me, no one care about me, no one give applaud to me. It's not about somebody applaud you. It's about your character.
Amen.
It's about your spiritual growth. And when you become mature, what happened? You will think like Christ. You will have the mind of Christ. You will respond to the situation like Christ. And not only that, you will develop your gifts and your ability to serve the Lord. Amen. So when you come to church, set the goal. I'm going to worship God. I will build a church. I'm going to grow. When I went to University of Washington for 8 years in residency training, I lost sleep so many days. I got called, I got yelled at by nursing, by bosses. But you know, every time people yell at me, discriminated me, talked me in a wrong way because I'm a foreign doctor at that time. You know, I was standing there and say, nothing that you do to me gonna stop me from going to school here. Because I'm going to become an American board certified neurosurgeon. So these 8 years, I'm going to get my objective done. The same thing when you come to church. No matter what happened, people may step on your toes. People may do this to you and that to you. But you say, no, not my objective is not to come here to fight with anybody, come to criticize anybody. My objective is to grow into the fullness of Christ. So you need to settle your objective that you're going to grow, you're going to serve, you're going to be productive, you're going to influence, you're going to be the salt and the light to influence your neighbors, your city, your nations. Wherever you go, God will use you to really impact people around you. You will not stay like a kid forever. You will not stay like a baby forever, children forever. You're going to grow up. And that process of growing up, you have to go through carrying the cross and die to yourself. One more thing I want to speak to you prophetically is this. 2 days later, I was standing in my kitchen. God spoke to me. He said like this. The devil tried to attack this church in a different ways all this year, 15, 18 years. One time he tried to attack me to stop the move of God. And lately God spoke to me that I want to warn your church. This is another trick of the enemy right now. So I want to just let you know God warned the church. Actually, I look like teaching, but I'm giving you prophecy. He said like this. Right now, the devil is trying to attack this church by secular thinking. That's why I read a while ago. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, So are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. We are people of the kingdom of heaven. We are not of this world. We are spiritual people. You remember Jesus prayed one time, may your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, God wants heaven's way to be done on earth. And it's our job to do that. So if you go along with the secular thinking, the thinking of the world, which is opposite to the Bible, then you will not be able to influence the city or people around you. You need to renew your mind with the mind of Christ, with the thing of God. Your thinking may be opposite to a lot of people in your office, or even some churches too. I'm not attacking any church, but some churches may be compromising, using the worldly thinking. You know, a while ago, I intentionally lead you to worship more, to sing, "You are Lord." You know what? I just want to train you not to think the way the world think. That, oh, come here singing too long. Half an hour already. I want to sit down. I'm going to get you stand more. So that you think, your thinking is that I'm going to honor God more than my legs. We need to think the way God thinks. We need to be heavenly people. We need to be the spiritual people. Amen. So be careful. Don't entertain and welcome the secular thinking. We are not of this world. We belong to God. We are citizens of heaven. And we're going to apply and influence this world by heavenly thinking. The mind of Christ. Amen. Is it clear? One more thing. Prophecy. God said that this year God is looking for kingdom seeking people. If you seek the kingdom of God, He will bless you. He will pass the anointing through you. Seek the kingdom of God. Don't seek the things of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. Now I can come to my preaching. Amen. Today, very short sermon, very practical. I would like to talk about marriage. I talk about worship, talk about file of God, and because Valentine's Day is coming up in a couple weeks, so even though you are single, but that's okay, you need to understand anyway, because one day you may get married. How many single in this room expect to get married one day? Raise your hand up. Okay, so you need to hear this sermon. If you have the gift of, how many people have the gift of celibacy? The gift of not getting married. Stay single all the days of your life. Raise your hand up. No one. Okay. So you can listen to this sermon. Today we would like to talk about making marriage work in a very practical way. Today the sermon is pretty light, pretty straightforward. And forgive me if you think that I may be too straightforward. Okay. It's all right? Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We just want to, Lord, hear what you say from your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 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 If the devil can destroy the family, then he can destroy the society. So in our church, we really value the family institution. We really want to build a family in a church to be strong together, that your home, your family will not just be blessed yourself, but you and your husband and your wife and your kids will be a blessing to our people around you, to be a home of refuge, a home of healing, a home of giving, a home of love and peace and joy, that everyone that come to see your family, come to see your relationship between you and your husband or your spouse, they will praise the Lord. They will not look down on Christianity or look down on the name of Jesus. 26 years ago, I make a promise when I walk out to the altar for my wedding in the Catholic Church in Thailand, Bangkok, Thailand. And I promised that priest, the Catholic priest, Pastor Da was a Catholic before we became a Christian. And I was not a Christian at that time. I make a promise to her that I will love her and cherish her and do all the things that husband need to do. And I pray that I have done my best in the past 26 years. And it's very difficult to keep that promise, and we need to be reminded off and on as husband, because we are human who tend to forget what we promise. Amen. Before I go into practical point today, I have a few practical issues, few practical principles. I will go very quickly here. Let me ask this question. If you think about a woman in Proverbs chapter 31, what kind of woman do you think about? How many people read Proverbs 31? When I think about a woman in Proverbs 31, I think about a superwoman. She wake up before dawn. She clean up her house. She go out and buy linen and sell and make business and take care of everything in her house. She is a superwoman. Now, if you think about a woman named Eve in Genesis chapter 2, what do you think about? So, Proverbs 31, superwoman. But Genesis chapter 2, when you think about a woman in Genesis chapter 2, it comes to my mind of another half. So, the Eve portray of another half of the man that will make the man complete. In other words, a man will not be complete. Adam will not be complete without Eve. So, lady in this church, you are the superwoman by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you are another half of your man. Amen? Your husband, if you get married already. But because we understand that God created woman to fulfill and to help the man so that two of you will be complete. Therefore, God has to make woman different from man. If you expect your wife to be like you, I think you're in trouble. You marry another man into your life, and your two men live together. You will marry a woman who's different from you. Man and woman are different. Amen? That's why God created man and woman to be together as husband and wife. Today I want to share a little bit from the survey and from the study in America. I'm talking about in America here. Before I give you principle of how to make your marriage work, I would like to talk about the difference between man and woman first. Woman, by nature, are very relational. We have woman breakfast, 50 people show up. We have men breakfast, we have 30 people show up. Why? Because women would like to chit-chat and talk and have good time and relationship. But for men, I rather watch TV and watch Seahawks game and stay home. I don't like relationship. Men would do not like to expose themselves to other people too much. That's why if you can ask any man in this room, any single man in this room, any person in this room, a man, and you can ask him how many close friends you have, it will be a super miracle. If one man in this church say, I have 3 good close friends. Usually men don't have a lot of good close friends. But if you ask women, 6 of them. We talk all the time. We call all the time. We this and that all the time. Women tend to love relationship. That's the one thing that different between women and men. Amen? Amen. Second thing, the difference. Women, I'm not trying to say who is right, who is wrong. Thank God for the differences, okay? Women will use 3.5 times the words that men use in one day. If you talk to a man, if you go to a party and you see a man, hi, what's your name? Bill. That's it. And especially if you go to Hawaii, they greet each other like this. They don't even talk. They just shake their head like this. How's the football game? Good. Good. So men tend to talk less, but women tend to talk more. 3.5 times more.
Amen.
Amen. So learn how to listen. So as men and women that live together in the same house, you need to understand each other very well. Amen. Let me read this scripture and I will go on. Ephesians 5, we talk about Valentine's Day. We talk about love. We talk about marriage. Marriage is about love. Man and woman love one another. Okay. You wife will submit to your husbands as you do to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife as Christ is the head of his body, the church. He gave his life to be her savior. Wow. Jesus gave his life to the church. So men, you need to give your life. You want woman to submit to you, you need to sacrifice. As the church submits to Christ, so you wife must submit to your husband in everything. And your husband must love your wives with the same love Christ showed the church. He gave up his life for her, sacrificial love, to make her holy and clean, washed by baptism and God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man is actually loving himself when he loves his wife. You remember this? You love yourself when you love your wife. No one hates his own body, but lovingly cares for it, just as Christ cares for his body, which is the church. And we are his body. As the scripture says, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. So again, I say each man. Wow, you notice that God emphasized man love the wife more than emphasized woman submit to husband. He mentioned about love your wife 3 or 4 times here. Each man must love his wife as he loves himself. And the wife must respect her husband. Amen. Now, before I go on into the practical point, I'd like to read from the survey in America about man and woman. A quiz that come in America. This is from psychologists. What is the most important need in a married man's life? In other words, you ask them, a group of men, what is the most important thing in your married life? 1, sex. 2, admiration. 3, food. Some of you may say yes. 4, remote control. 4, golf. 5, golf. 6, watching sport on TV. 7, money. 8, none of the above. The answer is none of the above. Question number 2 for men. How often does a man think about sex? The same amount as a woman? A. B. Twice as much as a woman? C. 5 times as much as a woman? D. 10 times as much as a woman? E. 33 times as much as a woman? Answer. 33 times more times. That's a fact of life. Man tend to think about sex more than woman. As I say today, my sermon is straightforward. I'm not rude here. I'm not very impolite here. I'm just telling you the truth. Another question. When do men prefer to be intimate with their wife? This is asked by psychologists. In the morning or evening? Research says, in the morning. I know it's true or not, I don't know. Okay. So, I just want to make you awake. This, I read all these things to make you awake. The purpose is to make you interested in this sermon. Okay. For the record, I'm going to tell you 3 things that men look at in their marriage. And 3 things that women look at. They are different. As I mentioned from the beginning, men's perspective are different from women's perspective. So I'm going to tell you 3 things that men look at. The number one need of a married man is not sex, but sexual fulfillment. It's different. It's not just sex, but sexual fulfillment. That's number one. I'm talking about the survey in America, including non-believers. Number two, that men are looking at, seeking in their marriage is respect. Everyone say respect. Respect. Men do not like their wife to go out and talk bad about them or talk down on them in front of public or in front of people. Men wants to be respected by women. Amen? Respected by women. So this is, you need to understand as women how men think. That's number two, respect. Everyone say respect. Number three, need of men. Men need to feel needed. Is it true? You want to feel, I want to feel needed. I want my wife to pay attention to me, to my need. I want her to think about me, to, you know, it's a male character. You want to be needed. You don't want to be ignored in your marriage. Now look at the woman. Needs of woman in marriage. Okay, men, number one, sexual fulfillment. I'm very straightforward today, so all the wives will know. Two, respect. Three, feel needed. Now let's look at woman. Now men, listen carefully. It's your turn. Number one, need of woman is affection, not sex. Not sexual fulfillment. They need affection. They need to be loved. Remember that? Number two, woman need honesty and openness. You need to be honest to your wife. You need to be open. If you hide things, you don't tell the truth, you sneak around, women do not like it. They want your honesty. Amen? They want you to tell the truth and be honest, be open. Just, you know, I face this with my wife all the time. I tell you, I mean, this is true. I come home and then suddenly she came to my face. We need to talk. I say, oh, I'm tired. I don't want to talk. We need to talk. We need to get this deal done. We need to resolve this issue. I want your open comment. I want you to see your heart. I want to deal with this right now. Women like to just deal with it, open and honest. Men tend to kind of, I'm tired, I don't want to talk about it. Is that true? It's true. Okay. Am I helping somebody here? Some lady around here say, good, good, preach it. Amen. And the third need of woman, not only affection, all the men say affection. Honesty. Openness. And the third one women need in marriage is commitment. They need her man. She needs her man to be committed, to be leader, to guide, to really lead the family, to be leader in the house and to have commitment in their marriage. That you're going to love me alone. You're not going to go and flirt with other women. You're going to commit to me. Amen. Now, I want to give you a few tips of marriage to make your marriage work. Today we talk about love. We talk about how to... I want to be practical today in my sermon. Now, to the men. Start with the men. This is what you need to do in your marriage in order to make your marriage work. All the men are ready? Number one, in order to make your wife happy, affectionately love her. Affectionately love her. I already bought my Valentine card. It's done. It's already done. I bought big bouquet for my wife already a week ago. Before she left to Thailand. You need to tell your wife all the time, I love you. Amen? I love you. You're the most beautiful lady in my life. I told Da is not here today. I make a appointment to preach to Lavenda is not arrived because she will not feel embarrassed. I told her all the time, Da, oh, the longer the year go by, you look younger and look more beautiful. You look so anointed. Amen. Women need affectionate love, not just money, not just your toy and your money and your motorcycle, Harley motorcycle. Man, you just have fun with Harley motorcycle. I know our member here don't ride Harley, you know, but men just look at the toys. But women say, love me. Show your love to me. I want your affection. Okay? Second practical point for men to do to your wife. Be interested in what she is interested in. If your wife loves to cook, maybe you just go stand in the kitchen and just watch her cook and, good. You're not saying, oh, this is not my business. I just want to just watch TV. No, you're interested in what she is interested in. My wife is interested in one thing. I tell you, what makes her happy the most is giving. She just loves to go out, shop, and give to people. She went to Thailand this time. She had to pay $50 at the airport because the wait is over. Excess. And I say, Da, this is not wise. You lost $50 just to bring some toys, some cookie to Thailand to give to people. But she say, I don't care. I want to give. I am willing to pay $50 as long as I can give to member over there and just bless them. That is her life. She loves to give. And I say, okay, thank God that God give me ability to make money so you can buy gift to give to people. You are interested in what she is interested in. Don't ignore. Maybe the thing that she is interested in is not your interest at all. It's not your interest at all. You're interested in DVD, in, you know, computer, and, you know, all the website and all this, and you talk about high language of your computer technology. And your wife sitting there listening to you, all this download, upload, and she's like, what are you talking about? No, stop talking about download and upload. Stop talking about website. Talk about what she is interested in. I rarely talk about patients at my home. I never talk about my medical work. When I come home, I just listen to her. What you like to talk about. So, number three. Okay? Affectionately love her. Be interested in her. In what she is interested in. Then go on to the next one. Commit. This is a good one. Commit to listening to her. This is a man way. When your wife says something, oh, you know, this happened, your first reaction is this. You will say, oh, this is what you need to do. She doesn't want to hear what she needs to do. Man always gives solution. What she needs is that you sit there, look at her eyes and check your, nod your head and yes, yes. She just wants to tell you what she's up to it. What she's up to right now. And she just wants you to listen. Not to lecture her. Give her, you know, all the principle what to do. She needs somebody to listen to her. And I learned that lesson. When I come home, I just sit in the kitchen and listen to what Pastor Da wants to say. And I just, yeah, good. What else? What else? She keep telling me. Keep telling me. And by around 8 p.m., she's happy. Because she talked all the things that she wants to talk to me. Amen. Download. She upload, I download. Amen. So, men, you need to understand your wife. Affectionately love her. Make sure you tell her you love her, you care, you interest in her interest, and also listen to her. Be a good listener. Don't talk too much. Just listen. And last one for men. Discover her love language. Your love language may be one way, but her love language may be another way. A man called, a teacher called named Gary Smalley came up with five love languages according to the Bible. I'm sorry, I did not bring the scripture to you. They are in the scripture. Five, how many people want to know five love languages? And all of us have different love language. Like for example, if I speak to Yumi, Ni hao, she will look at me like, what? Is that right? But if I speak to her, Ohayou gozaimasu, she understands. Her language is Japanese. So the same thing, sometimes you do good to your wife, but she didn't get it because it's not her love language. What is the five love language that you need to study and find out what your wife like? If you have this love language, could you raise your hand up so your husband will know? Okay? I'm going to say one by one. Number one, physical touch. Raise your hand. Who love physical touch? Oh, men too. Men, you can raise hand. Physical touch. So some woman doesn't like, do not like physical touch too much. They feel like, yeah, yucky. Don't touch me too much. Yucky. My wife loves physical touch. When I come home, if I just massage her, sit close to her, hug her, she loves it. She loves physical touch. Amen? So I know my wife. Two, quality time. How many people like quality time? Just sit there and talk. Just spend time together. Okay. If you just give quality time to your wife and that is her love language, she feels love already. Three, acts of service. If some lady, like men to do a lot of stuff. Fix that, fix that, fix that. Cook this and then go buy shopping and go buy laundry and whatever, you know, do whatever. And you, the more you do, she will love it. That is her love language. How many people, acts of service, raise your hand up. My love language is acts of service. If somebody come and help me, serve me, I feel love so much. I feel love. Okay, that's my love language. Words of affirmation. I love you. You're beautiful. Oh, your cooking is so good. Oh, it's so delicious. Oh, today your dress is so beautiful. Where did you buy that? Oh, look at your shoes. Look at your hairstyle. Oh, you're just a wonderful woman. They need some words of affirmation. How many people like that? Words of affirmation. Amen. Okay. Number five. This one is pretty expensive. You need a credit card. Giving. Some people like gift. You need to buy a lot of earring and, you know, ring and, oh, she feel love, you should buy something for her. Gift giving. So five love languages. Quality time, physical touch, acts of service, words of affirmation, and gift giving. Find out what your spouse like to receive in order to feel being loved. If you try to register love to her, but it's different, it's a wrong love language, she will not get it. And she would think that you ignore her. In fact, you try to show love to her, but she didn't get it. Okay? So that's to the men. One, affectionately love her. Two, be interested in what she is interested in. Three, commit to listen to her, not lecture her. Four, discover her love language. Now come to the ladies. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Men gonna give me good dinner today. Some men gonna invite me out for dinner. Number one, only two for women. Men, low maintenance, only two. Easy. Low maintenance. Number one for women to do, as a married woman, assertively participate in your intimate relationship with your husband. So quiet. Let me read one more time. It's so quiet. Assertively participate in your intimate relationship with your husband.
Oh, somebody say amen.
Pastor Lau, I think this is your idea. You try to prep something around here. You try to, if your wife is not sitting here, you need to get this CD.
It's in the Bible. Let me read it.
Huh? Yeah, I'll send this one to Thailand too. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 3 to 5. Talk about it. Don't say no to your husband all the time. It's not very wise. The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife. And likewise, the wife to her husband. The wife's body does not belong to her alone, but also to her husband. In the same way, the husband's body does not belong to him alone, but also to his wife. Do not deprive each other except by mutual consent and for a time. In other words, the Bible says, don't say no to each other in intimate relationship. Except you have agreement that this time you're going to fast and pray for 7 days. Some men say 7 days too long. But if you make commitment to pray, fast and pray for 7 days, no relationship, it's okay. But otherwise, the Bible, Paul say like this, don't deprive your husband or your wife. Make sure this is something holy and righteous in the eyes of God in the married life. Amen. Sexual relationship in married life is the will of God. It's nothing wrong. Don't think it that it's evil. Okay? And for a time, so that you may devote yourself to prayer. Then come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. My dear brothers and sisters, actually, my sisters, remember this? Participate in your intimate relationship with your husband. Don't deny. Don't always run away. Don't kick him out into the couch. Amen. So quiet. Number two for ladies, to make your marriage work. Number two, very simple. Developed companionship with your husband. Pastor Da did very well, has done very well. Men, I tell you, men sometimes look like, you know, not me. Like if you look at Steve, like this, you know, big, walking with big muscle and look like they are strong. But I tell you, men, many times, men are like kids. Many times, one time my mom say like this. She came here before she passed away. She looked at me when I preached up here. I preached. Oh, wow, anointed man. But when I went home, she told my wife, he looked like a kid. He just sit on the couch and look tired and just serve me. I need water. I need that. I need, you know, I became like a, sometimes men, another one, men need companion, need some care. And some love, some service to know that he is needed, he is respected. Amen. So that's what Pastor Da always do. Sometimes I came home at 10 p.m. after going to care group. I came back home and then the hospital paged me. I have to go out again at 10:30. And you know what Da say? She say, I'm going to put Paul to bed. And I'm going to drive for you to the hospital. And I said, what are you going to do there? I just sit there reading some of the Christian book and wait for you. I just want to companion you in the car. Oh, bless my heart. I feel that she needs me. She wants to be around me. She wants to spend time with me. It is awesome that wife really want to befriend and spend time and be around to help the husband. Instead of ignoring and do their own things. Amen? How many men agree with me that you need that? You need wife to help and be around and just support you. You know, you are his helper. Amen? So, develop companionship. Go together. Go to serve God together. Go visit care group together. Do something together. Don't leave him alone. Don't send him out alone. Go with him. Be with him. Spend time with him. Amen. Now I'm gonna finish this sermon by reading this scripture that I skipped. You remember I read Ephesians 5:22-33 a while ago. I purposefully skipped this one and come back to read to conclude this sermon. Ephesians 5:21. Go back to 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. A while ago, I read Ephesians 5:22, wives submit to your husband. And all the men say, yeah, submit to me. But I want to read back to verse 21. Submit to one another. So don't interpret the Bible from wrong context. In fact, husband and wife, you will do everything by the power of God, according to the word of God, to submit to one another and to make another side and your spouse happy, fulfilled, and the needs are met. Don't just say, I'm the guy here. I go, I'll make money. You have to just meet my need. You just need to sleep with me. You need to cook for me. You need to watch this for me. I'm the boss here. You're going to have to meet me and my need. No. You submit to one another. You need to think about the needs of your wife too. You need to think about her needs and care for her and listen to her, find her love language, be sensitive to her. It's about submitting to one another, blessing one another, loving one another. It's not only one side. Amen? I'm done. My sermon is done. Are you glad? So we're going to talk more about love. I think it's good that sometimes we remind each other in the church as husband and as a family to how to treat our spouse, because otherwise we forget. You keep your promise. You remember you promised God on that day, on your wedding, that I will love her and cherish her. So love her. Be sensitive to her. Be nice. Be one part of the scripture say like this in 1 Peter chapter 3. Honor your wife, be kind to your wife, and then your prayer shall be answered. How many men in this room want your prayer to be answered? You know what you need to do? The Bible says, honor your wife. Treat her as a weaker vessel. If you abuse your wife, you yell, you do good, bad things to your wife, the prayer will not get answered. You need to love her and care for her and treat her with respect as a weaker partner. Amen? I'm talking about physical side of the weakness, not spiritual side. Some women are stronger spiritually than men. I'm talking about physical weaker. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your word. We pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will help all the couples in this church, all the future married couples that will get married in this church, Father, to have love and affection, submission to one another. Father, we pray that the family of God, the family in this church, all the couples in this church will be strong family. They will love one another. They will set good example to their kids. They will set good example to others, to younger couples in the church. Father, I come against all the attack of the enemy, against all the families in this church, that there's no divorce, there's no separation, there's no heartache, no broken relationships in this house, Lord. I pray that you will restore any misunderstanding and any wrong relationship in this house, Lord. If the husband and wife in this place still, Father, have relationship problem, help them. Save them, Father. Deliver them from the snares of the enemy, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. All the men say, I will do
I will do what I hear today. All the ladies say, I will do what I hear today. Amen. Any couples want me to pray for you to strengthen your marriage? I'd like to pray for you if you are a married couple in this room. I will pray for the single later on. Any married couple you want to come out here, I'd like to bless you and pray for you. May the anointing of God be upon your family. Amen. Any married couple? If your spouse is not here, it's okay. You can come on the behalf of your family.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.